And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. My spirit shall not always strive with man. This is a divine principle that's even true today. The word strive means to struggle. God put forth a lot of effort, struggling, striving with man. We don't have a whole lot of what Moses or what Noah did or said during those years, but I am sure that there was a lot of preaching and reaching going on, and they watched every day they lived the ark under construction. God gave them 120 years. So we learn from this text also that God gave the people a way of escape. He always gives a way of escape. He always has a plan of salvation. He has never left man abandoned without hope. He has never done that, and he never will. When you read the seven churches of Asia, six of them end with condemnation, where God said that they were judged guilty by God, but in all six cases, God also said, but if you will repent, God said, I will turn and do great things in your life. Do not wait too long. Do not strive with God too long. Do not resist God's voice too long. There will come a day when the door will be shut and the wrath of God will be poured out, and only those on the ark of safety will be secure in the arms of God. Don't gamble your future on the world. Don't fall in love with the world. Don't be enamored by the things of the world. Deal with temptation, but overcome it. Trust in God. Live for God. Work with God, because God will one day move and the door in heaven, as Revelation 3 and 20 tells us, will be shut. And so we must be ready at any hour and every hour, because no man knows the day nor the hour. And so we learn that God encouraged them to get on board. He gave up and sent the flood. They were saved, the Bible says, as by water, which is given to us as a type of our baptism, as an element of our salvation. So what is God doing for 120 years? He's waiting, just waiting, just waiting, just waiting. It may not seem much, but God is a God who really does not have to wait for anything. He could speak and cause it to happen. He could lift his finger and cause it to be. He can rearrange time. He can stop time. He can turn the clock back. He can wind it forward. He can do anything he wanted to do, but God has allowed himself to fit somewhat into the format of time. And the reason God does is he is waiting for souls to be saved. I don't know if you can find another reason. I cannot. James 5 and 7, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Nothing is precious to God on this earth except souls. And he is waiting for the precious fruit. And the Bible says he has long patience for it. And he gave the early rain, but somehow that did not satisfy God's desire. And so he said, I will send you a later rain. And he said he has long patience as he waits for a revival of souls to be born. And so he has this admonition to us: be ye also patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Establish your heart and be patient. Soul winner, be patient for souls. Preachers, let us be patient for souls. Prayer warriors, don't give up yet. Don't weaken the things of God. Don't slack up and don't think it's not going to happen, because God said He Himself was waiting. Revival has not come to America like God wants it to. Revival has not come to the world like God wants it to. It has not come to our churches like He wants it to. And so we're not the only ones to have patience. God Himself has had to have great patience. We may never comprehend the patience of God. You parents tonight, have you ever wanted to strangle your kid? If you say no, I'm just going to say I don't believe you. My wife has said, and you've heard her say this probably, that there's sometimes she would choke me to death if she could bring me back to life. And so God has had to have an unusual long patience, not just for lost souls, but with His very own kids. God has had to have patience to execute judgment on the earth. God has had to, we'll never know what it took for God to restrain Himself. There was a couple of period of times that God said, I'm going to destroy every person off the face of the earth. I'm tired of them. Their hearts on evil continually. I'm sick of this. And so God has had to hold Himself back from executing judgment and justice on the earth. Every sinner, every rapist, every murderer, every child molester, every abuser, every liar, every fornicator, every adulterer may not know it, but God has had long patience, and He's given us a space to repent. If not, eventually He will come, ready or not. David said, Lord, You are a God full of compassion and gracious and long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. That's the God we serve. Why do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Don't you know that the goodness of God is to lead us to repentance? Don't we know that God has spared His judgment? Because it's not His will that anybody should perish. But after the hardness and unrepented heart, you treasure up unto yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous and the judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. 2 Peter 3:15 said, consider the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. We're going to be saved first off because we're born again of water and the Spirit, but also because of God's great patience. The patience of the Lord and the long suffering of God is salvation. If He were not so patient, we would already have been destroyed. So even God has to wait. He who knows the end from the beginning, He who declared the end from the beginning, who the one who set times and seasons, and the one who said what was going to happen and when, has Himself had to wait. But the things He's waited for, He considers worth the wait. So the Bible speaks of things that God planned from the beginning of time. He kept the good news of the gospel from ages and generations past. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so some of the things that God loves the most, and desires the most, he's had to wait the longest for. God has only given man life for 6,000 years. And he's been around for eons and billions of ages past without beginning or end. So this God of ours has had to wait a long, long time. When Jesus was on earth, he subjected himself in his flesh to the timeline of the death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, and the church age. And in this text I read, Jesus has given to us the example of one who patiently waits under great suffering. And so he waited, sometimes with great suffering. And I will submit tonight that if we're going to be ready for the coming of the Lord, and if we're going to walk with God successfully, if we're going to get the things that God has promised, if we're going to see greater things, we're going to have to learn how to wait on God. To suffer with patience. We lose, I fear, many blessings of God, and maybe even our own soul, because we get impatient and we can't wait on God, and we take another route, or maybe even quit walking with God altogether because things didn't happen on our time frame. Think of the many people in the Bible who were impatient. They could not wait on God. Much harm followed. Even problems we face today come from thousands of years ago. The Middle East is in turmoil. There's all kinds of struggles even today because men could not wait on God. And so Paul tells us in Romans 2 that God will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patiently continuing, we will find eternal life if we patiently continue. Patience says we're ready for it now. If you're impatient, that means you're getting maybe a little upset, a little frustrated. Patience implies more than happily waiting. Now, if I'm at the hospital like I was when our grandbabies were born, I'm anxiously waiting. I'm getting a little impatient. I'm ready for this thing to happen. Some things I wait and I got plenty of time. I'm in no hurry, no fret. If I'm riding an airplane for 10 hours, I am impatiently waiting. But God said, if you will continue in patience, you will receive eternal life. For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience comfort you. We think about the God of peace, the God of power, the God of healing. But do you often stop and think that he is also called the God of patience? And the patience I'm talking about tonight can only come from God. It can only come from the assurance that we serve a God who cannot lie. I know it's getting a little late and I've only got about 10 more minutes, but I ask you to stick with me. Because the patience I'm talking about says we know that God cannot lie. We know that God would not give us false hope. The God that we serve and the patience we have says, I know one day, sooner or later, it's going to happen because God said it would. I'm not changing. I'm not moving. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. you know, getting off track. I'm not going to make some crazy decision. I'm not going to backslide. I'm not going to leave the church. Why? Because the promises of God are worth waiting on. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. And so after Abraham, Paul said in Hebrews 6, Abraham had patiently endured. After he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Not before, but after. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Each one of us has our own race to run. Run your race with patience. And waiting on God is the hardest struggle. We get impatient and antsy. One of the greatest reasons we lose faith in God is because of the wait. Sometimes our faith gets weak because we've waited so long. We may never know the blessings of God that we have missed by not waiting on God. Many years ago, nearly 40 years ago, pastoring a really small church in a really small town in Campy, Louisiana. I went and tried out for a church in Mississippi that ran about 150, and that would have been like heaven to me. The district superintendent's son was watching the church until they elected a pastor. He said he didn't want the church, Meridian, Mississippi. Brother David Edwards, he said he didn't want it. So I went and I talked to the district superintendent, Brother Edwards, the week before the election, and he said, I don't want to speak too quickly, said, but I really think you can get ready to pack your bags. And so here I am from a floundering situation to a flourishing one, seemingly. And the man that's in charge, the big man, says, pack your bags. The night of the election, I waited and I waited and I waited and I'm miserable and I'm walking. It's midnight and I can't sleep. It's 1 o'clock. Finally, at 1 o'clock, the phone rings. Brother Daniels, I'm sorry we didn't get back with you quicker. But after the election, we went out to eat and stuff. That made me feel good. But I want you to know, Brother David Edwards was elected pastor tonight. So, my world crumbled. The next few days, I decided it was time for me to leave Campy, Louisiana. And so, we packed up our stuff, and I headed to a church in California that said, the man said, come out here and assist me and work with me. I didn't really know where to go. I just knew I was getting out of that horrible situation. And so about a month or two later, I heard from one of the preachers down here, the presbyter that I knew, and he said, Brother Edwards was looking for you, but I didn't know how to get this day before cell phones or beepers or anything. But he said he had a great opportunity for you. That they didn't even want an election. They were just going to they wanted him to just put him a pastor in. And so I missed that opportunity by about 3 weeks. Impatient. Angry about the situation. All bent out of sorts, and so I missed what may have been a great opportunity because of my impatience. We'll never know the things that we miss because we get impatient with God. And when we get impatient, we don't give God time to finalize His plans, and so we often substitute other plans in its place. And here's a news flash for CP. See news. Our plans are never as good as God's plans. So we question God. Where is He in my dilemma? Why am I still sick? Why is my marriage still in trouble? Why has He not answered these prayers yet? Why have things not changed? Why does God allow my suffering to continue? Has God forgotten me? Or maybe I'm the reason for the problem. And so maybe God sees I've made such a mess of things, He's walked off from it. But let me tell you, the quickest way to God's future is to wait on God. When we wait on God, we do not get lost in shortcuts, in trying to find our way back. I lost 2 years of my life when I left that little town, moved to another state. Two trying years, hard years, financial ruin, rejected, came back to Louisiana with my tail between my legs. Took me 2 years to kind of get back somewhat on my feet. God's way is always the shortest way. Waiting patiently perfects us. It purifies us. It matures us. It strengthens us. It develops us. And it develops our faith. And the greater the work, the wait, the greater the work God wants to do. This has been proven in the Word of God. God's greatest work has taken the longest amount of time. The lamb slain, the church that you and I are part of today, didn't show up until 2,000 years ago. God has loved nothing as much as He's loved the church. He's desired nothing as much as He wanted the church. And He had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. When He got ready to deliver Israel from Egyptian, Israel stayed in bondage for 400 years or a little better. Just seemed like some of the things and some of God's greatest deliverances took place after the longest amount of time of waiting. Joseph's deliverance of his people took generations. Joseph, a long span, lied on, cheated, tried to kill, locked up in prison. And he didn't know until the end of his life that it was all for God's purpose. What seemed like a never-ending situation, what seemed like a dead-end road, eventually turned out where Joseph said, the devil attacked me and my brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God was in it the whole time. Israel in bondage 400 years. Moses was called to deliver Israel from Egypt. But after he was called to deliver Israel, he went back to the desert 40 more years, waiting, 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 waiting. After David was anointed king, he was only a lad of a boy, and it was another some 20 years before he actually rose to be the king. Just waiting, 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 waiting. But that's kind of the way it is in the work of God. When God got ready to deliver Israel, it was a quick work. See, when God does start moving, it doesn't take Him long. And they had a short period of time, practically overnight, get the lamb, kill it, cook it, put the blood on the doorpost, get dressed, get your sandals on, get your staff, because tonight you're leaving Egypt. What took 400 plus years happened in a very short period of time. And so look at this, for 400 years in Egyptian bondage. When God did get ready to start Israel deliverance, He allowed Moses to be born as a baby, as all people are, except Adam and Eve. But so God said, Israel, I'm ready to deliver you. And so what God's beginning was to have a baby born. Well, I'm thinking, Lord, I'm ready now. Israel's crying out, deliver us, deliver us, deliver us, help us, get us out of here. And God said, I'm going to. And so God let Moses be born through all the stages of childhood and young adult to manhood. Israel's in bondage. As God often does when He gets ready for a great deliverance, He lets a baby be born. Jesus. Why didn't Jesus come full grown? Adam did. I'm thinking, Lord, get here as quickly as possible. But for 30 years, he didn't do a thing, as far as we can tell, in the miraculous realm. He's waiting. God knows about waiting. He's waited a long time. He's used to waiting. We better get used to waiting. But they had that short period of time. And so over the process of time, when Moses was old enough to be a deliverer and to go, God sent him back to the desert for 40 more years. And so when he was ready, 10 plagues struck quickly, one right after another. And things began to happen and God began to move. And so I was thinking this last week, that we really don't have to live a long life to be successful in God. But we have to live long enough to fulfill his purpose. You got to be here when he gets ready to move. You don't have to live a long time, but you don't have to believe a long time. You don't have to have faith a long time maybe, but you do have to believe and you do have to trust and you do have to have faith until God gets ready to start moving. We drop out before that, who knows what we might miss. And so we just wait on God. And so God waited for a long time because his ways are not our ways and he's not limited to our timeline and he has a purpose. And so I recently noticed in Deuteronomy 3 and 24, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness in thy mighty hand. You have just begun. Everything has a beginning. And we must not miss what God has begun to do. I don't feel like a finished product yet. I still feel like my greatest dreams are yet to be realized, and I wonder sometime if I've got enough years left. But I'm also reminded I don't have to live long. I just have to live long enough for God to start fulfilling his word. Lord, you have just begun. Despise not the day of small things, because everything has to have a beginning. And so we see where the Apostle Peter, when he stepped out of the boat to walk on water. The Bible says that when he got out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. You know, we don't sink all at once. We don't backslide overnight. We don't backslide in a moment. I believe every backslider has had a beginning of backsliding. I've been there before myself. I've had times I realized I'm not walking with God as I should. I might be getting a little discouraged or maybe a little lazy. And so when I began to see the beginnings of worldliness or the beginnings of carnality, are the beginnings of backsliding. It's not too late before you fall. It's not too late for Jesus to reach out. When your life begins to fail, and your finances begin to fail, and your walk with God begins to fail, or your marriage begins to fail, or your children begin to fail, or our church begins to fail, it's not too late. And so here's what I got to do. I've got to recognize some things that God has begun to do. And I've got to be sure that I don't begin to sink away, because I'm confident of this one thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. I am confident that the God who began that work can finish it. If I just don't get impatient, and if I just don't lose my way, And if I just don't give up, God said, I'll finish that thing. So here's the way I see it. Three major areas of waiting. One is waiting under suffering. Suffering intensifies the wait. Suffering always makes your day harder and longer. We get frustrated, unsatisfied, desperate, and distressed. Distracted, unfocused. I've been there. Preoccupied, distant. The suffering seems worse. Because we let the pressure build. And our attitude makes it worse than it is. Secondly, is waiting on the promises of God to be fulfilled. God has spoken some things to our church through prophecy that we've not yet seen. And I have fallen for the trap sometimes thinking, well, it's been a long time and I'm getting old. We still have so much. We need resources and money and, you know, there's so much. But we've got enough of what it takes if we'll just hold on until God. I have felt a shift the last few months. Coming into this year, we felt a shift of the Spirit. And it's like God is saying, I'm beginning the things I promised you. And so as we wait on promises, as you well know, Abraham and Sarah and deliverance of Israel from Egypt and all the Bible is full of all the people who had to wait. And waiting on God to fulfill His promise. Questions, did God say that? Will He really do it? Is it too late? Is it my fault? Can I get back on track? Waiting for the promises of God can be one of the hardest things, but seem like in every situation in the Bible, God let men and women get too old to have babies before He let them have babies. He let Lazarus get sick and die before he went. God is telling us in His Word, it's never too late. And God is telling us, don't worry, trust, because I am the resurrection and the life. And then thirdly, is waiting for the rapture. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, working, believing, trusting, so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods, but... And if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite the fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, if he thinks the Lord's not coming and starts getting worldly and joining the world, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour he is not aware of. I've got to hang on till that hour comes. And there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lusts, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of time. Waiting, 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 waiting. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. So I'm just waiting for the rapture. What am I waiting for? I'm waiting for the Lord to come. Let's stand. As I wait for revival, as I wait for another move of God, as I wait for another year of birthdays and celebrations and Christmas, as I wait in the fun the good things of life. As I wait in the struggles and the hardships, underlying all that we do, underlying all we're waiting for, I'm really just waiting for the Lord to come. That's the main thing I'm waiting for. And I can never forget that I'm waiting for that rapture. We cannot forget. We cannot get sidetracked. We cannot get careless. We cannot get unfaithful. We cannot get worldly. We cannot. Because the day of the Lord will come. And I've got news, good news. Jesus is probably more anxious for the rapture than me and you are. He's waiting anxiously like a bride and a bridegroom. He's got a date. Jesus knows when the rapture is going to be. And I believe he's with long patience waiting for it. So let's learn to wait on God. Let's lift our hands together. I thank you, Lord, tonight for your goodness and your mercy. You taught us how to wait. You set the example of waiting. All throughout the Word, your people have always had to wait. A lot of trials, hardships.
Shall renew this.
But to those who waited, deliverance came. Revival came. The church was born. To those who waited, victory came, and it was worth the wait. Just for a few moments, let's come. If you need to go, that's fine. If you got just a few moments, on your way out, come to the altar. God's got great things for you and your family. It's not just a church. When a church is blessed,